What would we say is the character of the gospel in the Gospel of Matthew? I want to suggest in this service three additional qualities to the gospel that Matthew has sought to tell us about. The one that I want to emphasize first is this, that the gospel that Matthew offers us is a gospel that is portrayed in Matthew's gospel as essential. That is, it's really of the essence of God and of the essence of our lives as human beings. There's nothing about what's happening in Matthew's gospel that suggests that here is just some person or some perspective which is offered simply as an additional random piece of information, a random angle on what human experience might be like, something which is perhaps worth considering, some bit of wisdom that we might occasionally apply. No, the stakes in Matthew's gospel could not be higher, because the gospel that Matthew is affirming is a gospel that is of the very essence of God. What can we say is the character of God? Matthew's gospel wants to say, this is what you can say about the character of the essence of God. The essence of God as made known in human flesh by God coming in Jesus Christ and displaying through his words and his actions, his compassion and his mercy and his justice and his grace. What is God like? Not just what is God, the people who bear witness to the action of God in the first century, what do they think God is like? But actually, what is God like? Who is God? What kind of God do we worship? Matthew's gospel wants to say, this is the kind of God that we worship. A God who is with you and for you. A God whose very character wills the salvation of the world and of your own life. A God who sees and understands the essence of the challenges that you face. Whose analysis of what it is that undoes us, what it is that's the core of our need, what it is that's the core of our thirst and our hunger and our longing, the purposes for which we've actually been made as human beings. It's the essence of God that's created those things, and it's the essence of God now in Jesus Christ who comes to be for us, the one who actually provides us with a renewed understanding of who we're meant to be, how we're meant to live, and how we're meant to love. What happens in the Gospel of Matthew then is not just something that sits on the surface of life. It goes all the way to the core. It's not as though the Gospel is ever all that could be said about the essence of God, but it is the containment of the condensed essence of God. It's the assurance that if we want to know what God's character is like, whether God is true or compassionate or merciful or just, whether that God longs and identifies with the neediness of our world, the essence of Matthew says that is the character of this God. A God who relentlessly pursues you and relentlessly pursues me and the world that we're a part of. And Matthew's great shock and amazement is that God, which has been affirmed by Israel through the centuries, has now surprised and shocked us by actually rolling up into the neighborhood in the incarnation of Jesus Christ and demonstrating to us the character of God. And to hold up to us a clear mirror that says, do you know who you are as a human being? Do you know that you were made for goodness and truth? Do you know that there's a God who understands that you live in a world where you struggle with injustice and suffering and pain and the reality of human sin that's both your own choices and the choices of others? The essence of that reality is not a philosophical idea, it's a demonstrated person that comes in Jesus Christ to be for us the essence of God, responding to the essence of our need and the essence of our hope. That is an amazing thing. It means that the gospel is not just a random opinion. It's not just another dot along a continuation of data points that we might somehow gather into our life. This is central, essential for each of us and for all of us. Another quality of the gospel in the Gospel of Matthew is this, that it's really presented as an irreducible gospel. It's often been suggested that somehow all the religions of the world are really largely the same. You take the core of their ideas and their philosophies and you sort of boil them down to some sort of propositional phrase, perhaps something like love or something like goodness or something like peace. There's a suggestion that somehow you can boil down all of these religions to their irreducible minimum, and when you do that, what you find is really similarity. It's interesting that that's just completely counter to the vision that I think Matthew gives us of the character of the gospel as it's portrayed in Matthew. It's no more reducible than Jesus himself. It's not as though Jesus is a metaphor for God. It's not as though Jesus is like a flag or a sign. It's that the character of the God who pursues us is Jesus Christ himself, and you cannot boil that down to any greater essence. You can't say, well, I'll give up Jesus, the rabbi who says awkward and offensive things. I'll take the pieces that I want, and like a husk, I'll shuck the part that I don't want, and I'll just keep hold of the part that I like. It's not as though he gives us a choice among an array of kind of a smorgasbord of tastes. That says, well, you can have a little bit of me here, a little bit of that, a little bit of this. You choose. Which Jesus do you want? Instead, when we come back to the gospel and let the gospel of Matthew as a whole resound in our hearts and minds, what we discover is something that's simply uncontainable. It's not about how small can we make the gospel. It's about how personal that gospel can become. An irreducible minimum that in its core is nothing less and ultimately needs nothing more than the demonstration of what we've actually seen in Jesus Christ. We live in a time when so much culture and so much life, so much language is reduced to bullet points. As though somehow it's just about a bullet point and a brief tag of phrase, not a sentence, not necessarily grammatical, not particularly very interesting, just a point of data on a screen. And there's a suggestion that maybe what's happening is that Jesus is just giving us data points. But it's interesting that in Matthew and in the rest of the Gospels, there's no way that you could take the Gospel of Matthew and begin to do it justice by turning it into a series of bullet points. 12 over the course of even a day doesn't begin to come close. What I'm trying to do is not reduce it to these 12 points, but to simply suggest these are features to watch for. And what we find is that it takes the whole narrative. It begins in the genealogy and it goes all the way to the end of the moment in the Gospel of Matthew when Jesus says, using one of Matthew's most important words of authority, and he says, now all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. And then in this amazing way now says, now you go and make disciples of all nations. This incredible sense that the irreducible minimum that is Jesus himself now becomes the irreducible minimum that is meant to be the church. And it's not about the leaders of the church. It's not about the most significant or best moments of the church. It's about the church in all of its complexity and narrative confusion and times of glory and times of suffering and sadness and lostness. It's about that community meeting a real God who understands us in our need and gives us not some small little pill to ingest or some bullet point to look at on a screen, but nothing less complicated than an incarnation. God in human flesh, this is hardly a reducible minimum. This is hardly some kind of little fraction of information. This is God coming in human flesh with all of its complex mystery and wonder and awe, who then lives this long story of these years of relationship and friendship and love and ministry, again with all of its uncertainties and clarities. Matthew's gospel is fraught with all these places where Matthew, as we've seen over these weeks, just delights in bringing together themes that he never neatly ties up. If you want bows on the world, don't read the gospel of Matthew. It's a gospel that is left open and unresolved because it's about a dynamic reality of the living God encountering real people in a real world. And that is an irreducible minimum. That's why Jesus Christ is so irreducibly the center of the church. It's not as though we can just take an idea, strip all of the complexity and suggest, let's just figure out a gospel that appeals in its neutrality and its non-offensiveness to the contemporary 21st century world. No, it will never be anything more or anything less than the person of Jesus Christ, who is the core of the gospel itself. And finally, in this service, let me say one more thing about this gospel. It's comprehensive. Did you notice as we were walking through this gospel that there wasn't a feature of life, an experience, a range of concern, of emotion or of politics, of personal individual life or of global life that wasn't in some way or another part of the vision that is given in the Gospel of Matthew of the character of who God is and what God is doing in the world? The gospel is not a small little teacup-sized idea. It's not just a little bit of small adjustments at the core. It's about a claim of lordship which extends over all of human history, that extends over all of human experience, that's across every range of culture. Why? Because only Jesus Christ is Lord. Only Jesus Christ has come to enter our humanity in the essence of our humanity, in the essence of God. In this way that is a profound demonstration of this irreducible expression of God's love. And that is not just for some, not just for Israel, not just for Gentiles, but for the whole world, a people of every tribe and tongue and nation. And it's this gospel that is of that extraordinary quality in its essence, in its irreducibility, and in its comprehensibility, that is all part of the image that Matthew gives us of God and of God's love for us in Jesus Christ. Friends, I hope and pray that as you come to the end of this series in Matthew, that in fact what you've found in Matthew's gospel, what you will be reminded of as you go back, I hope again and again, and continue to reflect on this gospel and the other gospels, is an image of God which actually, again, strikes this profoundly in defining and expressing and fulfilling what it means to be human, in telling us the story of how it is that we're meant to live essential human lives, dependent on a God who has the capacity to be able to meet us personally in Christ with an irreducible minimum, and to give us a comprehensive vision of our lives, of our relationships with one another, of people who are our friends and people who are our enemies, of people who are like us and people who are not like us. And most profoundly of all, a vision of the God who holds all things and will one day truly make all things right. Oh God, as we worship you, we bow before you as the God of all glory, the God of all power and mystery. Oh Lord, dare we believe that the essence of your life is love and mercy and kindness and justice? Do we dare to believe that you have actually come in human flesh to show us yourself in your vulnerability, in your compassion, in your gentleness, in your righteous anger, in your willingness to die and to rise? Oh God, it's true that our only comfort in life and in death is you, that our life belongs to you, body and soul, in life and in death. Oh God, may this gospel explode our minds and our hearts and our relationships so that we might put our trust in you and live for you. For we pray it in Jesus' great name. Amen.